If you would like to listen to this episode ad-free, please sign up for our Patreon account. There is a link to sign up in this episode description. And there's also extra content.
This episode is brought to you by Marumori. This site has everything you need to learn Japanese. It's an all-in-one guided gamified Japanese learning experience with the aim to take you all the way from absolute beginner to language mastery. And the best part is you can start anywhere. So yeah, that's marumori.io. Check out our link in the show notes to register.
1, 2, 3.
How's it going, boys?
All right.
Back recording in the good old digs of close to the Susu. Speaking of the Susu to the Kino, I don't know if you guys know, but I recently went down to Osaka.
Yeah, had weekend. Your tournament.
All right.
Results?
Jiu-Jitsu tournament. I am the new world champion of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. No, I'm just kidding. Bad results or unfortunate results. I lost my first match 4-0, which gave me a third place finish. I got swept twice during the match. Positives to take away from it. My first match at Black Belts. It was a good experience. Go down there with a lot of people. Kind of know where I'm at in terms of the competition. Don't want to make excuses, but here go my excuses. I was not feeling well, man. I had a fever from the week before. My kids had strep, so I thought maybe that I caught that. Anyways, during my match, like, I gassed after the first 2 minutes. Ben, you saw the video.
That's pretty rare for you. You don't normally gas out.
And I was jogging, like, a lot to work on my endurance, like, building up to the thing.
Is it adrenaline?
It could have been an adrenaline dump, I made some other mistakes. Like, I didn't have a good warm-up. I didn't get warm 30 minutes before my match, break a sweat and stuff. So, I mean, anyways, and the match was late in the afternoon. But the other guy, Kawamura-san,
that's your drinking time. You've probably had a few whiskeys
exactly,
before your match.
Or I didn't. I should have. I did not have my whiskeys.
Drunken master.
Whiskeys, yeah.
I think you told me your match was like at 4 p.m., so yeah. does that mean you had to abstain from eating and drinking until then?
Yeah, that was the other thing. I was cutting weight, probably cut like 4 or 5 kilos. So I don't know if I was also feeling weak because of that. But yeah, I wanted to watch everyone else's matches. So I showed up to the Kaijo or the tournament site like from the morning, was basically waiting. My match ended up being like 5 p.m. or something. Anyways, yeah, made a lot of mistakes. First tournament in like 7 years, so... I could have been better prepared, but good experience overall.
The guy that beat you, he's a renowned champion, isn't he?
Yeah, he's probably the most well-known. No, I'm just kidding. He does actually have a lot of videos up on the...
What's his name?
Kawamura-san from Alma Gym Homies down in Tokyo. I didn't know him before the match, but we talked a bunch at the tournaments, got to know each other afterwards. He ended up taking first, which I take a little consolation in, you know, because I lost the championship.
By the way, for those listening, Burke's got one eye. He's missing both arms and his legs backwards.
It's all sacrifice for the art, man. All sacrifice. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So,
we had to wheelchair him into the studio.
Yeah, it was the All Japan Masters Tournament or Championship or whatever. Hopefully do more tournaments this year to get back into tournament mode, but it's hard to get matches of black belt, like brown belt and above level in Hokkaido.
But good on you, man. I mean, me and Ben were going to go round down there and get, you know, those little things in Karate Kid 2. We're going to flick those for you.
That's what I needed. I was thinking of doing that.
While you're losing, you look up and me and Ben are like, boop, boop, boop.
Da-dum. Yes.
So apart from that, how was Osaka?
Yeah, so again, I wasn't feeling too well, so I just like, after the tournament, didn't go out with the guys. I did go and have yakitori, got to eat a lot after the tournament stuff, but then I went to the famous Namba district, nightlife district of Osaka, put up a little video on Facebook and Instagram, people should go check that out, and all I gotta say... is Fukuoka is pretty cool.
Oh, Osaka.
But Osaka Osaka's where it's at.
Oh, Osaka's the new one, eh?
I mean, yeah, we got to quit pretending like we live in a cool city, man. Because, support me. All right, I've been to Osaka a few times, a couple times for work. Never really went out to enjoy it too much, man. But Namba, dude.
I heard it's a good nightlife down there.
I mean, okay, basically you have to picture like Sasakino.
But lively.
Yeah, times five. I mean, Sasakino, you feel like it's... Okay, so it's basically like Sasakino during summer festival.
Oh,
so it's like packed. But it's not like, you know, Sasakino, they throw out like all these folding tables in the street and stuff. It's like all nice restaurants with their, you know, tables outside. Everywhere is packed. There's like mazes of areas like Tanuki Koji, but the roofs are like twice as high.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, it's basically, and the crowds are like the summer festival and Sapporo sized crowds. Everyone, and plus, like right now, it's already like, you know, summer weather down there, or like early summer weather, like 20 degrees and stuff. So it was just nuts, man. I was like, dude, where am I? I was like, this is, it's pretty cool that I can like be in Japan for 20 years and still go to like a Japanese city and then like be blown away by it all over again, you know?
Bit of a prefecture slut, aren't you? You like Fukuoka, now it's, I'm done with you. Now it's Osaka, is it?
Exactly.
I've never been to Osaka.
You've never been?
No. Have you been?
Yeah, I've been. Yeah, yeah. I went to that area.
Did you go to Namba?
And Amemura. Did you go there?
I didn't have time.
That's quite close.
Now, like, Sasakino is meant to be the second biggest nightlife district in Japan.
Well, to the east of Tokyo.
Well, that doesn't cut it.
And Osaka's not to the east.
Yeah, Osaka's to the west.
Sasakino is the biggest district in bloody Sasakino, you could say.
I mean, compared to like Sendai, basically. Sasakino's where it's at. Yeah, man. Plus, like, Osaka is also known for being kind of like the entertainment city of Japan.
I've heard people are a bit more lucid down there, they're a bit more wild.
Yeah.
Less Japanese-like, a bit more expressive.
It definitely has, I mean, because, yeah, like that area, I mean, what's it comparable to in Tokyo? Like
Shinjuku?
Not Shinjuku. Well, it's kind of like Shinjuku mixed with
Shibuya, Roppongi.
With Roppongi, except for a lot nicer and more festive. I'm telling you, it feels, the atmosphere felt like the summer festival season, like August in Hokkaido, but it was just like a regular Saturday night. The only thing that is a little bothersome, and not that I don't like tourists, but it is like tons of tourists like filming everything, taking pictures, you know, stuff. So it's not just like all people enjoying stuff. It's just, there was quite a bit of tourists. So I see Ben's face.
you were videoing.
That made me more comfortable to pull out my own phone and just start filming everything.
Did you eat any special local delights?
I didn't.
What is a special local delight in Osaka?
Takoyaki.
Takoyaki.
Right?
Takoyaki.
Yeah. There's a lot of those.
Yakisoba? Well, that's more like Hiroshima, right?
Yeah.
They have their own version. But I think takoyaki is the main one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just octopus balls, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I had that when I went to Osaka, and it was all right.
You've tasted one octopus ball, you've tasted them all, haven't you, Ben?
I'll tell you what, man, there's like tons of people lined up for all the like takoyaki stands and stuff and everything. So, but yeah, man, it's nuts, dude. Like, okay, Fukuoka has an awesome city, great beaches, I'm going to say, probably best beaches. Good energy, very modern, clean and everything. So that's why I love Fukuoka. But
he's gone back.
and Hokkaido, Sapporo, first love, great for raising a family. Always be my first love. But man, if I were in my 20s, okay, here's my advice. If you're thinking of coming to Japan as an English teacher, go to Osaka, man. And if you're in like 20s, early 30s, because we're too old to like really, well, Matt's still, you know, young enough to go through it. But I kind of felt like I'm too old to relive those days. But if I were going to relive those days again, especially as an English teacher, man, or something, I would be going to Osaka for sure, man.
Wow, there you go.
Well, most people request Tokyo, usually, right? Tokyo or Osaka. Or
really?
Okinawa.
No, when I came to Japan, man, everybody wanted to come to Sapporo.
Really?
Sapporo was the hardest place
to get
into. When
I came, no one wanted to come to Sapporo, apart from me and my coworker.
Yeah, but man, you're talking about like people in Japan wanted to move up. Yeah. But like people outside of Japan, I think, they don't really know about Sapporo unless they're thinking about snowboarding and stuff.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Or they've heard of the beer. That's the only reason why they would know Sapporo outside of Japan.
It's good beer, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Sapporo had a chance, you know, to develop into it. I mean, there's still got a lot of development going on and everything, but the last was Olympics, so no hope. No hope. Anyways, I recommend it. I can't believe you've never been there, Matt. You would enjoy it the most.
I'm surprised you haven't been there. You've been to a lot of places in Japan, Matt, but not Osaka. Not on your radar.
No, well, I've always wanted to go there, I guess, but I'm a busy boy.
I mean, I got to like the neighborhood and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. You know, it's kind of like a shopping district. It's nice. But like, where's all this nightlife? They're tired. And then like you walk a little bit, go through some of the like arcade areas and it's just boom. And then it's just like all these different roads and arcade streets going all these different directions. And you can just walk forever.
Did you check out any bars?
Again, I had a few drinks when I was having yakitori near my hotel in the Sakai area. But yeah, again, I was still feeling like feverish until like a couple days ago. So.
Plus, you had no arms and one eye.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be really
nobody
hard.
Push me around and stuff. So, but yeah, good times, man. Good time.
Do you have any news, Ben?
No, but I know you do, Matt. You were laughing to yourself earlier before we started recording.
Well, today we're talking about unique words. I guess Japanese words have made it into the dictionary.
The what was it? The Oxford English Dictionary, wasn't that, Burke? The title of the article.
Before we get to that, have you heard of the Mariko Aoki phenomenon?
Mariko Aoki? Aoki? Alcoholic?
No, Mariko Aoki, it's a person's name. It's a phenomenon.
Oh, Aoki?
Aoki. What did I say?
Mariko, I thought you said Aoki.
Yeah.
Who is that person?
It's just a lady. maybe this should be in the dictionary. Last week, I don't want to get onto a theme every week talking about feces, because last week we talked about Ben's long colon.
That's right.
So let's face it, half of Sapporo's scene.
Oh, that wasn't like the patron on the patron one.
Everybody
Everyone
knows
else everybody.
It's a Japanese expression referring to a sudden urge to defecate that is felt upon entering shops. Now, do you guys get this?
Hold on. The word is someone's name.
It's a phenomenon. I'll explain. The phenomenon is named after Mariko Aoki.
Oh, sorry. Back up a little bit there.
He's touching my pants. The phenomenon is named, a woman who described the effect in a magazine article published in 1985. So according to a Japanese social psychologist, Shozo Shibuya, he said the specific causes that trigger a defecation urge in certain shops are not clearly understood. Ben? You need to take a poo when you go to certain shops.
Is it like as soon as you go into the shop?
No, I've been walking around a bit.
Yeah, normally I get bored because I'm usually with my wife when I'm walking into a shopping mall or something, and I'm not really a fan of shopping, so I'll just make an excuse to go to the toilet and then use that because I don't want to walk around looking at dresses.
Well, you think it's boredom, but apparently it might be this.
So do you get this? I found this when I go to Yodobashi and hardware stores. Yeah.
Really? What is it about the...
I don't know.
Maybe all the excitement.
The rubber that you see around in the hardware stores.
It's all the wood. Burke, do you get it? Do you get this?
Not a Yodobashi camera. I'm trying to think. Maybe like Ben. A little bit of boredom helps us set in.
Okay, so maybe it's just me. All right, fair enough. Forget it. But apparently it happens a lot in bookstores. Costco happens.
Costco.
Hold on, you have to defecate or can it be just a pee?
No, you feel like you want to drop some kids off at the pool.
All right.
Target, Walmart, and Barnes & Noble is a popular spots, apparently.
Those are, Barnes & Noble, for those known as a bookstore.
Yeah. The sudden urge to poop while shopping, does this happen to you? They're saying maybe because you feel comfortable in that store, some sort of stimulus.
I think actually bookstores, I've experienced in bookstores.
Yeah, yeah.
Maru Aoki is the name of the
Mariko Aoki phenomenon. Mariko Aoki. So people write in and let us know your go-to store.
Your favorite place. Speaking of traveling, I guess we weren't talking about traveling. Matt, can you cue the music for our new corner?
What?
Traveler Corner. Whoa, whoa.
Matt asked
what
me
happened
to do
in Osaka.
Matt asked me to do that. People were working on a budget here. We don't have enough money for new music. We've added a donation button to our website, and there is a link in the episode description.
Voicesinjapan.com.
Unless you want to hear Burke keep singing that every week, please.
I noticed something. It says Japan eyes cashless tax refunds to stem illicit resale by tourists. Have you guys heard about this?
No.
Crime by foreigners. In Japan, foreign tourists are exempted from paying consumption tax on purchasing goods totaling how much?
Oh, trillions.
Yeah, well, that's how much they buy. But what's the, how much?
Oh, what's the tax?
20%?
You need to spend how much before you can?
Over 10,000 yen, I'd say.
5,000 yen. Nice try. Right.
You need your passport, though.
Yes. And you.
When you pay for the thing,
you need to give your passport information. And you're not supposed to use these items in Japan. So to prevent people from consuming or reselling tax-free items while traveling in Japan, the products are packed and sealed in bags or boxes before they leave the country. If customs officials find that the travelers are not carrying the tax-free items they have bought, they are asked to pay the consumption tax. This is obviously at the airport. But there have been a number of cases where travelers purchase massive amounts of tax-free items and resell them for profit at tax-inclusive prices before departing Japan.
That's a good idea.
It is a good idea. But now check this out. But under the planned system, passports would be scanned at airports to allow customs officials to check a traveler's purchase history. And then duty-free shops will then be notified if they are carrying the purchased products with them at the time of departure. After receiving the notification, the shops would complete the refund. So basically, you won't get your refund until you show proof at the airport
that you bought it. Oh,
that you haven't used it yet. Haven't used it yet.
So they can find that out, but just by you scanning your passport, they get all that information.
Well, that's going to be the new system, yes.
And so it hasn't happened yet.
No,
Got time.
Still got time. Plan to introduce it for 2025.
Man, isn't the weak yen enough? You know, you're buying stuff really cheap. You go back and sell it back at home.
There you go. Yeah.
Come on. Double up.
Yeah. So you got one more year to make some extra cash, travelers, when you come to Japan. And that's the new corner, Japan Traveler Corner.
Can you sing the wow, lingo wow. again?
Japan Traveler Corner. Whoa, whoa. Give us some money.
That's good.
Give us some money. All right. So what's today's topic, Ben?
We are talking about words that have been adopted into the English language, Japanese words.
Food
mainly. So you can look in like a Oxford Dictionary, which is apparently the world's number one go-to dictionary.
British,
of course. And you'll find some words stolen from the Japanese language that have basically been adopted into English. Give you an example, typhoon, right? A lot of people didn't know that was Japanese.
Because
it's been in the language for such a long time.
Here's another one for you, Ben. Tsunami.
There we go.
But hey, many overseas people might not know the N does not exist in typhoon in Japan, right? It's called taifu.
Yes.
What do you call Thai food in Japan?
Delicious. Oishi. a lot of the stuff on here is food stuff. Oh, speaking of food stuff, I got something to blow you guys' mind. Japanese word. No music this time, but anybody know one of my favorite Japanese? I'll just say.
No, tell me. Wait, what, your favorite Japanese food?
Well, probably my third favorite Japanese food.
Oh,
the Otani burger.
We're going to talk about Otani
your
again?
Third favorite Japanese food. So, what would be the first favorite? Probably gyudon. Maybe the first one.
The end of a drunk night. That's probably number two, man. Number two.
All right, karage must be in the top three.
I love karage, especially zangi, Hokkaido special.
Natto could be in there.
That's good, but
sushi.
This is probably like number four. Think a meaty food.
Meaty steak.
steak.
Wagyu.
Wagyu, that's probably actually tied for number one, but
All right, go on.
Pork, think pork.
Oh, I was about to say butadon.
That's good too, man. It's probably tied for number two.
Katsudon.
Oh, katsu, there we go.
Oh.
Tonkatsu. Yeah, I really love me some tonkatsu, especially katsukare.
I had a katsukare today.
Did you? I did too, lunch.
Hey.
So much I like it.
Do you want to vomit?
Boom, cool, man.
Hey, Ben.
I'm having it for lunch tomorrow.
You guys.
So yesterday, Ben.
Japanese words that have made it into English, but well, that's what we're talking about. But you guys heard of these boomerang words? No, I'm still talking about the thing, though. You guys heard of a boomerang word?
Comes back after it's been out.
Exactly. For a while. Well, it's a word that is originally a Japanese word or an English word that went to a Japanese word and now has gone back to an English dictionary.
You're saying katsu is one of those?
Yes. Katsu is now the word that we're talking about, like, making it into the Oxford Dictionary, but it was originally comes from an English word. Any ideas what katsu?
I did not know that. No.
Katsu comes from an English word, one that we...
Cuts.
It's actually, I'll give you the same.
Oh, cutting. Slices of pork.
Getting closer. It's actually half of the English word.
Cut.
Because the full Japanese word, this is a word they've actually shortened to katsu. The full Japanese word is katsuretsu.
That's the full cutlet, Japanese
cutlet.
Word.
Yes, cutlet.
Yeah.
Cutlet. So it was originally cutlet, turned into katsuretsu, and now they just say katsu.
And now it's come back to English.
Tonkatsu, yeah.
Wow.
So there you go. Blew your mind. Boom.
Yeah.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
Katsu is from the English language.
Yes. Originally cutlet.
Ben's still looking a bit confused. You're right, Ben.
Katsuretsu.
And now, they haven't changed it back now that the English have adopted it again, right? They're using katsu as a...
I think it was one of the words.
They're kind of using it wrong, though, I found. Don't you find when you went back to Australia, Matt, do they have katsu in,
in
food menus?
I didn't see any Japanese restaurants that had katsu on it.
Well, this is one of the words that has been added from the March 2024 update is tonkatsu.
Maybe we should bastardize the katsu word and send it back to the Japanese.
Yeah, but why are you saying they're not using it correctly?
So katsu is like pork cutlet in Japanese, right?
Yeah.
Well, in England, they just say katsu to mean everything that has the katsu sauce. So if it has the katsu sauce on it, they call it katsu. Which is not what it is in Japan.
There's a few words like that on this thing. Like, what was one of them? Hibachi or habachi or something?
What does that mean, Burke?
Well, that's the thing. I've been in Japan so long, I don't know what it means. But in the U.S.
Everybody knows what it means.
Well, that's what they refer to teppanyaki.
Oh, right. Oh.
Yeah.
They call how do you say it?
Is it habachi or hibachi?
I've never heard of that either before.
Yeah, right, because we've been in Japan this whole time. But
I thought it was a greeting. Hi, bachi!
Yeah, so a lot of people will not say teppanyaki. Yeah.
No onion rings, I guess.
Yeah, hibachi. Sorry, hibachi.
Oh, yes.
Because it's the flame, and then the bachi refers to the
Of course,
plate.
Heat, meaning fire, flame.
So they don't say teppanyaki anymore abroad.
Well, I think some people do, but most people just say, hey, you want to go out for hibachi? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I guess so people would know these words and maybe it's easier now to travel to Japan and you know what these things are.
The which one?
Well, all of these
things. All of them.
Like I saw kagome and I thought that meant mirror. So I was quite surprised to see that one in there.
What is it, kagome?
Isn't that mirror?
No, that's kagami. Oh.
Kagome.
Look at the big brain on Ben.
You saying they use that in the English language now to mean mirror?
I don't know, Ben. We live in Japan.
I'd be surprised if they did use that to replace mirror.
I mean, a lot of these words on here are like, I don't think they're too surprising to people overseas. Like,
what? That's
anime.
Yeah.
Anime. Right. People know that. What is anime short for?
Animation.
Animation. Oh my gosh, that's another word.
That's another boomerang word.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Right. There we go. We should tell the Japanese that. They'll get angry, I think.
A little bit. Konomiyaki. Everybody knows what that is.
I think so. Edamame.
Edamame.
Do people eat edamame?
Sushi.
What's sushi? Do people eat edamame in America or England, Ben?
I would say it's getting more popular. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
with beer.
Yeah, Yeah, definitely. Yep. Not probably not in restaurants, but like you can buy it from the supermarket now, like frozen right. edamame.
Do you know my first edamame experience? I didn't realize that people were throwing away the husks.
The pod.
So I was just, I was grabbed one of the empties and I tried to eat that. I'm like, man, what is this? This is shit. And they're like, no, we're just meant to eat the beans.
I mean,
it's already been in somebody's mouth.
It does kind of look like green beans, you know, like green beans a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. What else is on this list then?
Well, some of these words.
Onigiri, you know.
Onigiri, yeah.
The rice
yeah.
ball.
Do they use that in other countries?
Man,
I don't think I've heard that before.
The first time I ate a rice ball or an onigiri was in Japan. I've never seen them in Australia.
No, I've never seen them in England either. So I don't know. Maybe they're popular in America.
Specialty, you know, probably only specialty stores.
Like Japanese stores.
But speaking of some of the words that weren't on this list but are kind of interesting Japanese words in the English language, honcho, head honcho.
Oh, there we go.
Head honcho, right? That's slang for a leader or a person in charge. Mm. And that comes from the Japanese word honcho, meaning the squad leader.
Yeah. So that one's been around for a long time in the English language.
And a lot of people probably don't know that comes from Japanese.
Right.
I didn't know this, but I hear a guy on a podcast I listen to using it quite a bit. I didn't know people in the U.S. Use it a lot, but maybe some people do. Skosh.
A little.
Yeah, a little bit.
They use that too. Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
Just a skosh.
Mm, yeah, just a pinch, right?
I like the next one on you. Sorry, I'm reading
from
a list.
Yeah, that comes from skoshi, which is a Japanese word meaning a little bit. Skoshi.
Next one's amazing.
What's the next one?
Tycoon.
Yeah.
That's a Japanese one too.
Apparently. This refers to a wealthy or powerful business person, always saying this language, and it's adapted from tycoon, a term used in Japan.
To mean the same thing?
Well, in the sense of a shogun or great lord. Huh. Speaking of which, have you guys watched Shogun?
No.
Me either, not yet. It's giving awesome reviews.
I've heard it. Everybody's amazing. It's
dope. Yeah. You guys ever heard of a rickshaw?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's like one of those little.
They have them in Otaru, right?
They do.
Rickshaw runners.
Like a little.
Have
instead
them in
of
Southeast
a horse,
Asia
a
too.
Person's running around. Wheeling around.
It was in Bruce Lee's movie, Fist of Fury, movie, and he pretends he's a rickshaw runner.
Oh,
he catches one of the bad guys in there, lifts it up, and then chucks him around.
Yeah, do you remember when you took the photos, Matt, for my daughter's?
You were wheeled in a rickshaw. Chris Berg had a whip, and he was like, mush,
get
priest.
It on. So rickshaw is a small, covered, two-wheeled vehicle pulled by a person. Did you know this? Comes from the word jinriksha, which means a human-powered vehicle. I think it actually comes from originally Chinese, but
which comes from the Flintstones.
Yeah, but jinriksha.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, so it's actually originally an English word that's or Japanese word that's been adapted by the English language.
I've got a good one. This one, which is used a little bit differently in the English language, senpai. Do you know what senpai means? We obviously know what senpai
your
means.
Your elders, your co-workers, seniors.
Right, but in English, it's a little bit different how they use it. They use it for a person they admire who is socially or romantically unattainable.
Is that why you keep calling me senpai?
It's becoming increasingly popular in English, and it's on the Merriam-Webster Dictionary list of words we're watching for possible inclusion.
What is it, like a noun? I met my senpai the other day, and she just wouldn't talk to me.
Yeah, well, there's this picture on here of a young girl looking lovingly up at one of her kind of colleagues. So it's kind of like a unrefuted love.
All right.
Yeah.
Unrequited love.
Unrequited. Unrequited.
Unrequited.
Yeah. But sensei means the same thing, not senpai.
Yeah. A lot of these words that were updated into the Oxford Dictionary this time, March 2024, like Matt was saying, are basically English words. Donburi, isekai karaage. What is karaage?
Fried chicken.
But zangi in Hokkaido.
Yeah. What's the difference between karaage and zangi?
I don't know this, Ben.
I thought I knew it. Zangi, it's different flavor, right? Slightly different taste.
Yeah, it has to do with the taste.
Yeah. Where I went to the...
Zangi has like Hokkaido spices.
Yeah, no idea. Do you want to hear a story?
Well, I've been as mentioned this before. I think it has to do with being cooked with soy sauce, uh-huh. But I'm not sure.
I went to the original Zangi store in Hokkaido. Do you know what city it's in?
Zangi town.
No, Kushiro.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Oh.
And it was the birthplace of Zangi. And so I went in there, and there was a really old woman and a really old man making the Zangi. And they were so rude. Left.
You didn't try the Zangi.
I didn't know. I'm not giving you my money.
You went all the way there.
No, I was doing a trip around Hokkaido. I stopped in. I'm like, oh, Zangi, cool. And I went in, and they were just kind of shouting at me. And
they're old. Maybe they didn't hear you.
They kind of threw the menu. Like they were. I've never experienced people that rude before.
Maybe that's the style of the restaurant.
I don't care. If you're rude, you know. And I tried to make, do you speak English? And like, no. I paid for my beer and left.
What time of the day was this? Like
about dinner time? It was 8. There weren't that many people in there, so maybe that says something. But
How did you know it was the original place?
I checked up on the internet.
Well, there you go. I guess people don't go to Kushiro for the zangi. You can get good zangi in Sapporo anyways, right?
Here's a good one. Yakuza. Everyone knows that. But do you know where the name Yakuza comes from?
Yaku.
Japan?
Yaku.
The origin.
Yaku meaning drug?
The word. No.
Okay.
Burke's on the right track. Numbers.
8. Is it 8?
8 is the first one.
Yakuza. What is that? What is that?
Yak.
Seats. Q. 8 seats.
Yak. Q. So Q is 9.
Oh, cute.
And za is 3. And it originates from a card game. So this next bit might confuse you because it confused me.
I highly doubt it, Ben.
Does it involve counting to 3?
In this game, a player's score is decided by adding the scores on several cards and using only the smallest digit. Because 8 plus 9 plus 3 equals 20 equals 0 points, 893 means no points. This meaning later changed to useless people or gambling people, i.e. the Yakuza.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, right. This is
obviously something translated from Japanese, the original Japanese, maybe to English.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, 8 plus 9 plus 3 equals 20 equals 0 points.
Yeah, get it, got it, Ben.
So it's a card game, comes from the card game, gambling.
Interesting. Right. How old is that word?
Yakuza.
Yeah, I mean, how long have cards been here?
Good question.
You mean in Japan?
Yeah, I guess. Where were cards invented?
Maybe when the Meiji period, when the Americans brought it over, probably.
What, long time ago, but if you guys know the Japanese card game Hanafuda?
No. Throw flowers?
It's a hana flower. Futa means card. Futa, like a name tag, too. Really cool game. Used to play growing up, but that's also kind of like a gambling game. You like throw the cards on top of each other. They're really cool cards. They got like nice designs on them. And you throw them down on each other in the center, and they like snap when they hit each other because they're like kind of small plastic cards.
So it's not regular cards.
No, it's not like Trump cards, which was like,
where'd that come from?
Trump. Yeah, Trump. So if people that don't know, they call like poker and card games in Japan Trump.
Yeah, Trump. Playing Trumps, yeah.
Mm.
Trump.
That comes from the suits, I guess.
I thought it came from Donald Trump.
Yeah, probably. Cards were invented before 1000 AD by the Chinese. They reached Europe around 1360. There's also a game in Susquehanna you can play using dice. And it's a bit complicated, so I won't go into it. But you go to those obscure little bars, you know, up in...
You don't know about it. You know about it.
Yeah, you know.
We want you to take us to those, man.
Anyway, yeah, sometimes I'll bring out some dice and you roll these dice.
Is it like craps? Craps?
Are you talking about, what's the name?
Alki?
Morikō? Morikō Alki?
Is it like that? Like you got to Three dice?
You roll three dice, and if you get, say you get two sixes and a one, you need to get 1 point because you rolled the doubles and that. It's a drinking game. It's just, you know, I'm not sure if it's all around Japan, but it's definitely a prominent.
I have a list of Japanese words that have been, Burke, you'll like this, kind of used in a jujitsu.
Oh, yeah?
Which is kind of interesting because I think a lot of these words the Japanese actually don't use when they're teaching jujitsu.
Oh.
So you hear, like, you know, Gordon Ryan, John Danaher use these words. And yeah, every time they like use them, I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't understand what you're saying. So a very famous one is, let's see if you know any of these, Burke. You probably heard this one a lot, ashigarami.
Ashigarami, yeah.
What does that mean?
Ashigarami.
So it's supposed to mean...
Yeah, it's a leg position.
Yeah, leg entanglement technique in jiu-jitsu.
It's enough for a heel hook.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Which,
is that the one you gave me that night, remember?
Ashigarami.
That was an ashigarami.
That was a special night. No, that was just an ankle lock, straight ankle lock.
Yeah.
Got out of it.
Jujikatami.
Jujikatami. It's a udajuji, maybe.
It's an armbar.
Armbar.
Yeah. So in a... like, when we're training, our sensei wouldn't say jujikatami, right?
No, ever. You say udajuji or something.
Yeah, yeah. Or another one I hear a lot, sumigaishi.
Sumigaishi, it's a type of throw, right?
Yeah, so it's apparently a sacrifice throw in jujitsu, but again, never heard that used in Japan before.
I've heard Gordon Ryan use it a lot.
Yeah,
sumigaishi.
Yeah, I always kind of wondered why they used the Japanese...
Probably because John Danaher, like...
geeked out on them.
Yeah, some, like, judo video or something from back in the day.
But, yeah, they do use, like, kohai, senpai, os. As os. In, what does that mean? Os.
Hello?
It's kind of like, it's short for, like, osukasama desu, right? Isn't it? That's what I thought.
Actually, I don't know. I mean, but all the, a lot of guys in Japan
mean, male?
Mm.
Yeah, the guys in Japan use it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's like when you walk through the door and you see someone who's like, os.
I mean, all my high school students, all the kids are, os.
They're saying
ohayou gozaimasu really quickly, right?
Are they not saying, osukaresama desu? Is that that?
No, yeah. A lot of times they're saying, chiwas, which is konnichiwas, but they'll just shorten it to chiwas.
Yeah, if you find yourself working at a high school, every single kid will stop and say hello as you walk down
and
the
bow.
Door.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of supposed to, or they're encouraged to from a young age.
Some don't.
It seems like mainly it's the baseball kids that do that.
No, the most well-behaved kids in high school are the judo kids, man.
Mm.
They got some, they kind of got this...
discipline.
Real respectful discipline thing.
Do they say os to you when you see them? So os is a versatile term used in Japanese martial arts. It's used as a sign of respect, encouragement, and acknowledgement. It signifies a deep understanding of the challenges faced in training and is often used to show support and camaraderie among practitioners.
Yeah, you see a lot of people use that on social media, like Japanese and foreigners.
Yeah, right.
Both. Mm. Yeah, so good stuff, man. Yeah, quite used quite a bit in jiu-jitsu, man.
Yeah, yeah. So if you are a jiu-jitsu practitioner, I don't know, I reckon you just use the English terms.
Yeah, don't be surprised if you practice jiu-jitsu overseas and try and use some of those Gordon Ryan, John Danaher terminology come over here and people don't really know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
you get blank faces, I think.
A little bit.
Yeah, I think you're a sheriff or something.
A little bit. I think we're almost coming up to that time. Anything else, Matt, for today? No? No more food words?
No more. I mean, I guess a lot of the words on this list, I think most people really know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tatami. What else is there? Karaoke.
Yeah, and I like... yeah. Asked the internet for some other words too, and I just came up with stuff that, like, you know, futon, karaoke, origami, stuff like that.
Washi tape.
Yukata.
Yep.
Kimono.
Yeah, if you guys know of any other interesting words, man, please let us know, share with us, and we'll geek out on it.
Yeah, and also if you do have a Mariko Aoki phenomenon score, let us know.
Definitely.
What's going on there? Anyway.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.